It's time for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Only on Giants.com.
Smith back to throw. Pass time over the middle. Intercepted by Roll again. Antrell to the 20. Needs a block. Pinball down to the 5. Roll call time. Antrell with back-to-back picks.
Manning back to throw. Steps up. Deep ball down the middle of the field.
He's got Cruz. 35, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants.
Romo drops straight back to throw. Steps up. Gets hit by Canty.
Pass intercepted by Jason Pierre-Paul. To the 10, to the 5. Touchdown, Giants.
There goes Wilson again. Trying to break to the outside. Wilson cuts it back to his right, needs a block, and Wilson's going to go. He's to the 10, 5, touchdown Giants, 97 yards.
Now here's your host, John Schmelk.
Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com, 201-939-4513, and the waiting is over, something we've talked about for a couple weeks now since the season has been over and Kevin Gilbride announced his retirement. The Giants have hired a brand new offensive coordinator, and one of the guys that we have been talking about, Ben McAdoo, the former quarterbacks coach and tight ends coach for the Green Bay Packers under Mike McCarthy, comes over to be the Giants' new offensive coordinator under head coach Tom Coughlin. Now, there are a bunch of different things to talk about in regards to this hiring. Number one, you take a look at the quotes from both Tom Coughlin and Ben McAdoo yesterday in that Giants press release, and I think you take a few things out of them. Number one, I think the one thing we're definitely going to see different in this offense is pace. I think you're going to see a lot more no huddle, which a lot of Giant fans have been calling for. I think you're going to see Eli Manning out of the huddle quicker, and you're going to see a better pace to the offense, which I think will get Giant fans a little bit more excited. Number two, I don't think you're going to see a complete destruction and erasing of what the Giants used to do here under Kevin Gilbride and Tom Coughlin. Because remember, this is also Tom Coughlin's offense. It's not just Kevin Gilbride's offense. So I don't believe they are going to scrap all of the concepts and everything that they've done here before. But that being said, and this is going off of the quotes from Tom Coughlin, he intimated that these players are going to be learning what's pretty much amounts to a new system. They're going to have to learn new terminology. They're going to have to learn new plays. And they're going to have to learn how to analyze and do things a different way with a brand new offensive coordinator like Ben McAdoo. And a lot of Giant fans wanted change after Kevin Gilbride decided to retire. The Giants have had a lot of success on offense since he's been offensive coordinator. Quite frankly, the best offensive stretch in the history of the franchise. But sometimes change is good. You have to move on. And I think Ben McAdoo brings a lot of good change from the Green Bay Packers to meld what they do and meld it with some of the stuff the Giants do. And I'm sure Giant fans have a lot of questions. Are you still going to have a lot of the read and react between the quarterback and wide receiver based on what the defense does? How are you going to utilize the tight end? Are you going to utilize a fullback in this offense? There are a lot of different things that we'll find out as this offseason goes along with Ben McAdoo as the offensive coordinator. Now, there are some reports out there as well. Ralph Vacchiano, for example, making the report on Twitter that Giants tight ends coach Mike Pope has been relieved of his duties. The Giants have not confirmed or announced anything like that. If that happens over the course of the show, we will let you know. But when a new offensive coordinator comes to a team, there really isn't any question that he's going to try to bring some of his people with him and put a staff around him of people that he has worked with before, knows how to implement what he wants to do, and help him run this offense the way he wants to run it. And Ralph Vacchiano, and I think Paul Schwartz made this point in the New York Post this morning, and it was a good one. This is a big change for Tom Coughlin, but there really should be no surprise that he was willing to make a change like this. Yes, he's fiercely loyal to his coaches, but again, Kevin Gilbride retired, so there was an open position. And in the past, Tom Coughlin has made adjustments after seasons to try to improve himself and the team. We remember after the 2006 season when ownership went to Tom and said, look, we need you to calm down a little bit, relax, be a little bit easier going, be a little bit more personable with the players. And he did that. He talked about it in the offseason, and it paid dividends with the 2007 Super Bowl. So this is another change for Tom Coughlin. He brings in somebody with a new set of eyes to put on this offense, to do things a little bit differently, to try to get Eli Manning back to the player that he was 2 or 3 years ago to try to get this offense back on track. I think it's a good hire. You've been listening to the show the last couple of weeks. McAdoo's always been the number one guy on my list. I've always liked what the Packers have done. And I think what you really like about the job that he did last year is that even after Aaron Rodgers got hurt, you bring in different quarterbacks, whether it's Scott Tolzien or Flynn, a guy that hadn't been there for 2 seasons. They step in and are able to run that offense somewhat efficiently. And did they lose a step without Aaron Rodgers? Sure. But was the offense anemic? No, because the system was good, and guys like Mike McCarthy, guys like McAdoo got them ready. Now, there's a good chance this isn't going to be perfect early. This guy's never called plays before. So there's going to be an adjustment period for him. It's something he's going to have to get used to and get better at as the season goes along. But I think it's exciting to have a new guy in here and a new voice and a new way to see things. Our buddies over at Pro Football Focus had a couple tweets last night that I thought were interesting. The Giants, obviously, as all Giant fans can attest to, have not been a very good screen team over the course of the last few seasons. The Packers, on the other hand, are one of the best screen teams in the league. So I think that's one thing you can take a look at, that perhaps the Giants will become a much better screen team now with Ben McAdoo here. One other thing I thought was very interesting, the Packers were also first in the NFL with 273 yards on back shoulder throws. Matt Flynn at more than 83, and that's more than 21 other NFL teams. We've seen the Giants utilize that back shoulder throw a lot in seasons past. And by the way, that back shoulder throw is a read and react principle between the quarterback and the wide receiver based on how the corner is playing the wideout. If the corner has his back turned to the quarterback facing the wide receiver, that's when those back throws work. So I'd like to see the Giants get back to using more of that, something Eli Manning's been good at with guys like Akeem Nicks in the past. We mentioned the screen game. I think you will see the fullback remain in the offense. Just look at the way they used Kuhn in Green Bay as both a blocker and a pass protector. So I think you will see the fullback still be utilized to a certain extent. I think you'll see a lot of multiple wide receiver packages. If you go back a couple years ago when Greg Jennings was still with Green Bay, they would run out him with Nelson, with Jones, with Cobb, and they go four wide. I think you'll probably see a little bit of that with the Giants next year, with Jernigan in the slot on one side, Cruz in the slot on the other. I think that's a type of lineup that they could use. And this year, you saw the Packers make another adjustment. Once Aaron Rodgers went out, they really dedicated themselves more to the run game, and they used Eddie Lacy, and they really altered their offense based on the personnel, something you like to see from an offensive coordinator. So, again, McAdoo wasn't the offensive coordinator, but he worked under Mike McCarthy, and I'm sure he's going to be able to take some of those things to the next level. And finally, one other thing Tom Coughlin brought up when talking about Mike McCarthy was the way he's kind of worked his way through the coaches' ranks with a very blue-collar type of attitude. He's a hard worker, and those are the type of guys that Tom Coughlin wants here with the New York Football Giants. 201-939-4513. That's the phone number. Hashtag Giants Chat. Give us a call. Let's talk about the Giants' new approach on offense and what's going to happen this year. Let's go to our phones, and our first caller is Keith down in Kentucky. Keith, what's going on, pal?
Hey, what's going on, man?
What's up, bud?
Yeah, I'm just, you know, excited about that offensive coordinator position. You know, I'm glad it got filled. I think Mike Sullivan would have been pretty good. You know, it'd have been the safe pick. Maybe not the best pick. I think this was the best pick just because, you know, it's going to rejuvenate this offense, you know, bottom line. You know, you got to think about when he first came into the league, then they gave Kevin Gilbride the job of offensive coordinator. You know, immediately, the next season, you've seen change in Eli. And his fundamentals, everything. I think, was it Kevin Gilbride, the quarterback coach for Eli then, before?
Huffnagel you're talking about. It was Huffnagel, Gilbride.
Okay, right. So I really think this change right here, it's really a good one, you know, and I think it's going to work, you know. But now we just need to get to defense. I believe in Perry Fuel. I don't want him to leave, but he has to do, you know, more zone blitzes. He has to. That's just how they do. You know, I know he believes in people winning their individual matchups, and I don't think it's going to happen no time soon. I mean, JTT, I think he played kind of hurt, but I think they kind of caught on to him. Just like people had caught on to our offense. I think Dallas had really caught on to our offense last year. You know, we really couldn't do too much with them at the time. You know, I mean, the first game was good because the receivers were winning the matchups, but I still think they had caught on to us at that time.
Well, you Keith, know, look. John Mara said it after the season. The offense was broken, and they had to make changes to address that, and this is just the first step in addressing those issues on offense, and they're going to have to change personnel down the road as well. That's a big part of this. But I agree. I think this new approach will, as Coach Coughlin said in the press release yesterday, light a fire under some of these guys. And sometimes change is good, and you hope this change will spurn a revival of this Giants offense. Keith, we appreciate the call, pal. Thanks a lot.
Yes, sir.
Have a good one. 201-939-4513. Let's stick on our phone calls and go to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey. Tim, what's going on? Tim. All right, Tim's not there. Let's go to our next call. We're going to go to Victor in Texas. Victor, what's going on, bud?
Hey, what's going on, John? This is a great hire. I was calling for this. You know, it's a good shakeup. It's something that's going to, you know, just like Tom Coughlin said, I can't believe it's kind of like what I said, to make these guys, you know, feel comfortable, they got to be uncomfortable. And to me, it's a great hire because it's going to actually infuse, you know, not just the offense, but, hey, it's going to create competition in all areas. I mean, the offense is going to get better. It's going to show a lot of intensity, which is going to breed intensity with the defensive side of the organization as well. And it sucks for Mike Pope. I mean, I don't know if those rumors are true or not, but if they are, he's been with the organization for a while. You know, he's turned tight ends that were, you know, less on other teams to functional tight ends on our team. But Ben McAdoo, I mean, he's come from pedigree. He was a tight end coach. He utilizes the tight end. So I just hope that the Giants in the draft, I don't know how more involved he's going to be or have a say of players in that in the upcoming draft offensively. But him having that background, I think we're going to start seeing the tight end more used as a weapon instead of a blocker for Eli.
Yeah, Victor, I agree. And to bring that to another extent, I think one of the reasons maybe the Giants decide to make this type of change this year with the offensive coordinator position and change this offense is because the team played so badly last year and, you know, so many guys are either retiring or free agents. There's going to be so much new personnel on offense anyway. If you're going to implement a new system, implement it now since you're going to have so many new guys anyway. You don't have that many carryover from the old system and the old regime. So if you're going to make a change, this is a logical time to make it.
And exactly, and just like I talked about before, I mean, you know, Eli talked to him, and I know Eli can get this system down. And just like you said, I don't think they're going to implode the whole system. They're going to maybe bring three-quarters of it and then keep a quarter of what the Giants used to do just to keep that offensive train moving and keep Eli comfortable. And one more thing, the special teams, I know Tom Quinn has been there for a while. I hate to see people go, but I think – we need to infuse that as well. We need to get some more life on the special teams. If you give me your thought on that, I'll talk to you later. Appreciate it.
Hey, appreciate the call, Victor. Look, I'll say this about Tom Quinn. I know a lot of Giant fans have been frustrated with him, but we talked about all year the Giants' lack of depth and their inability to draft in the middle rounds. You know who that affects more than anyone else? Special teams. When you have guys on special teams that, quite frankly, aren't very good players, it's hard to get a lot of production out of them. So while the special teams were a disaster this year, and yes, they were a disaster, there were returns all over the place. The Giants' opposing starting field position was not good for Big Blue. That all being said, I think Tom Quinn suffered from a lack of personnel well on those special teams. And it's something a lot of people don't pay attention to. But there were a lot of guys on those special teams that, frankly, weren't very good at it. And there were a lot of guys moving around, too, so we never had the same group each week. Now, that's not an excuse, and whenever the special teams and the coverage teams play as poorly as they did this year or reflects poorly on the coach, I'm sure it's something Tom Coughlin's looked at, but I don't see how the hiring of a new offensive coordinator would affect the special teams coach. To me, that's a completely different situation and would be a different decision, and if that decision was going to be made, it would have been made already. So that's the way I look at it from the tight ends coach position. 201-939-4513. Patrick in Pennsylvania. Patrick, what's up?
Hey, John, how you doing?
Doing well, Patrick. Good morning.
Yeah, I'm just curious. I know Ben McAdoo is the new offensive coordinator. He's going to be in this new hybrid system, probably a great thing for the Giants at this time. I'm just curious, with the new addition there, how are the Giants going to go about in the draft with the offensive line being as bad as it was this year? I know there's a bunch of injuries. That was a big issue. And also free agency is also always a possibility there.
Well, look, I've said this from the beginning. I don't care what system you run. You need an offensive line, whether you're running Mike McCarthy's system or you're running Kevin Gilbride's system or you're running anyone's system. You need an offensive line, and that's frankly one of the problems the Packers have had the last couple of years is their offensive line hasn't been very good. 2 years ago, it was especially bad. This year, Bulaga got hurt for the year. He was their starting tackle. He was injured the entire season, and eventually Aaron Rodgers broke his collarbone because of contact, and he was out for the year. So the Giants are still going to address their issues on the offensive line. I don't think it's going to affect the type of players that they bring in. Look, good offensive lineman, a good offensive lineman. But I'm sure McAdoo and his system will play a role in what the Giants decide to do. I would expect them to bring in at least two offensive linemen, and I mean starting caliber guys, in free agency before the draft even gets here.
That's good.
You got anything else for me?
Not at this time,
thanks. All right, Pat, appreciate the call, man. 201-939-4513. Let's go back to Tim in Jackson, New Jersey, see if Tim's there yet. Tim, what's up?
Hi, I'm here. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well.
I got a question. After the Giants hired Ben McAdoo as the new offensive coordinator, will they turn their offense around next season and become and win Super Bowl 49 in Tom Coughlin's final season as head coach?
Well, Tim, let me put it this way. I don't think, and thanks a lot for the call. We appreciate it. I'm not sure next year is going to be Tom Coughlin's final year as head coach. Look, if he wins another Super Bowl, might he decide, look, I'm going out on top and he's going to ride off into the sunset? That I could see. But if the Giants have a good year next year, say win 10 games, win the division, win a playoff round, lose in the second round, something like that, do I think Tom Coughlin's going to retire? Honestly, I don't. And if the reports are correct and this McAdoo contract was for 2 years, my expectation would be in short order to have Tom Coughlin's contract extended for at least another year. If you're bringing a guy to implement a new system, you're not going to change the head coach after a year and change the entire system again, unless McAdoo becomes the next head coach. And I'm not sure he's quite ready for that, considering he hasn't even called plays before. And he's only been a quarterback's coach and a tight ends coach. I'd want somebody with a little bit more experience on the upper end of the coaching tree. As for the Giants' offense, I think it's going to be a lot better next year. And is coaching going to be a part of that? Sure, coaching's a part of that. But I think the bigger part of it is that the Giants are going to have a whole lot of better players on offense than they had this year. Their offensive line's got to be better. I'm hoping they'll be able to find a tight end in the draft or free agency. I think the draft is more likely. That can be a two-way tight end. And I do think Ben McAdoo does require his tight end not only to receive but to block. Yes, JerMichael Finley was a big-time receiver, but what did Crabtree do when he was there? He was a blocking tight end. He was a pretty darn good one, too. And this year they had Corliss, who was a pretty good blocker. So they do use double tight ends and multiple tight end sets, especially when they run the ball there, in addition to using a guy like Kuhn at fullback. So that's how I'd see how they're going to use the tight end, and maybe that's one of the reasons, if this report ends up being accurate, that the Giants made a move of Mike Pope. Maybe McAdoo is a special way he wants to coach his tight ends. I suppose that's a possibility. But look, your tight end's eventually going to have to block in the running game or block in pass protection, one way or the other. They're going to have to do one out of the two. If you run the ball and you have a tight end in the game, he's going to have to block. Doesn't matter what system you're on. But moving forward, we'll see what happens. 201-939-4513. Roldy's in Bayshore. Roldy, what's up?
Good morning, John. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Yesterday, I didn't know, you know, how I felt about this signing with Ben McAdoo, meaning that, you know, he never was an offensive coordinator. He never, you know, did play calling. You know, I always, you know, I thought that, you know, Sullivan was going to be the next one, especially since the players know the guy, they know the system, and I always felt like it wasn't the offensive system of the Gilbride system, it was always the players. But then I woke up this morning and I said, maybe, you know, the change was warranted. So, you know, let's see what he does, you know, for this new offense. The one thing, you know, I was thinking, you know, this morning about this signing. He's definitely going to need a good, you know, blocking tight end, a good receiving tight end. And being that he was a quarterback's coach and a tight end's coach, maybe, and I think you're going to laugh. I mean, maybe he might help out, you know, Adrian Robinson a little bit better, you know, as the new offensive coordinator. I mean, being that I don't really know too much about this guy, is he going to run a West Coast offense?
Well, he's going to run the type of system they ran in Green Bay, which, you know, is part West Coast, but it also has some other elements involved in it, too. I think the pace will be a lot faster. Like I said at the top of the show, there'll be a little bit more no huddle. I don't think you'll see the Giants get out of their huddle with 10 seconds left on the play clock, and they've got to scramble to run a play. I think you'll see a lot of 3-4 wide receiver type of stuff like we saw from the Packers when they had all those wide receivers a couple years ago with Jennings, Jones, Nelson, and Randall Cobb. I think you'll see some of that. But you also see some multiple tight end stuff. They like to run on first and second down with multiple tight ends in the game. So I think you'll see a lot of different personnel packages rolled out there, a lot of different formations. I think maybe some quicker passes, maybe not quite so many 5- and 7-step drops, depending on how good the offensive line ends up being. So I think those are the type of things you'll see. But if you watch the Packers, you see a lot of quick drops, release, throw it 5, 6, 7 yards down the field, try to get some run after the catch. So I think you'll see more of that implemented in the scheme next year.
So do you think a new face, a fresh face, being that he was a tight end coach, you think he might at least help out Adrian Robinson a little bit to become a better player in this new system? Maybe the new system might work for, you know, Adrian Robinson. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's a possibility. I really honestly can't say either way. I think Mike Polk was a tremendous tight ends coach. He took no names like Jake Ballard and Bear Pasco and made them effective players. He took a guy like Kevin Boss, who was a late-round draft pick, turned him into an effective player. He taught Martellus Bennett the system here in just a year, who was good for the Giants. And by the way, Martellus Bennett tweeted this morning that if, in fact, Mike Pope has been left going, again, the Giants have not confirmed that he's a great man, a great coach, and he wishes him well. So everyone is very high regard for Mike Pope as a football guy and as a coach. Will it help Adrian Robinson? Who knows? Do you know who right. I think needs to help Adrian Robinson the most? Adrian Robinson. He needs to get his head into the game here and learn the plays, learn the playbook, and be ready to play next year. The Giants need him.
Now one more thing. With this news, with this signing of this of Ben McAdoo, are we going to have to really go dig deep in this free agency to get that personnel to fit right with his system, meaning running back, the offensive line, the tight end? Because, you know, like I said, if you don't have the personnel to execute the play, the offense is going to look like a crappy offense, you know. And we need those players to execute those plays. But other than that, let's see what he does. I mean, like I said, I can speak for most Giants fans. We really don't know him, except he came from, you know, the Packers. And I think that's why a lot of fans are excited, because he came with, Aaron Rodgers. But for a guy that never, you know, called a play, it kind of got me a little bit nervous. But let's see what he does. And maybe it's a right step to the next phase of the new offense. And I wish him well. Hopefully he could change this up.
Thanks for the call, Roldy. Appreciate it. And look, they have to get the personnel better. You're right. Good offensive linemen are good offensive linemen in any system. Some systems require more mobile guys as opposed to some road graders, sure. But I don't think anything the Packers have done in the past would limit the type of offensive lineman the Giants would bring in. So you still need to do that. If you don't bring back Nicks, you still need another wide receiver to play on the outside across from Cruz. You still need a tight end that could both catch and block. And then you need a running back. And I don't think there's a particular type of running back you need in that system, only because look at all the different guys the Packers have used in the past, whether it's Ryan Grant, whether it was James Starks, whether it was Eddie Lacy this year. And there's one other guy in that mix that I can't quite remember. But they've rotated running backs all over the place. So I don't think there's a particular type of running back you need, but the Giants will probably have to invest in that position as well in the offseason. 201-939-4513. And I say invest, I mean a free agent. I want a veteran in here that you know what you're getting out of him, not necessarily a guy that you draft and you have to teach. And by the way, I still like Rashad Jennings as a free agent, and I should make a mention of it on Twitter. There's a bunch of different Giant reporters reporting that Gerald Ingram will also be part of the Giants coaching staff mix-up here, and he might be on his way out. Again, the Giants have not confirmed any of those reports. I am not doing so now. If the Giants do, at any point during the show, I will let you know. And, of course, you can check out Giants.com all day for any official Giants news in terms of coaching changes. 201-939-4513. Jeff is in Rhode Island. Jeff, what's going on, pal?
How you doing, John?
Good morning, Jeff. How you been?
Good. I'm very well, thank you. I'm happy to see a new younger man come in with some fresh eyes, and I think it was a good move to go outside of the organization and do that. Naturally, as some of the other callers have already said, that his success will be mostly predicated on, you know, the amount of better talent that the Giants bring in during the off season. I still don't think too highly of the tight ends on the team. You know, with the exception of Pasco, I think the rest of them, I don't know what to think of the rest of them because they're never out there to do anything. So,
you know who actually Jeff made some decent progress this year that a lot of people didn't notice? Larry Donnell. He played through some injuries. He blocked fairly well. I think the Giants actually liked the way he came along this year. Granted, I'm not saying he's going to be the next Jeremy Shockey or something like that, but I think he showed the ability to be a solid blocking tight end in certain spots.
Yeah, so you think he's a keeper?
I think you can keep him as your third tight end. I don't know if he's much better than that at this point, but maybe he improves. He's still a young guy. We'll see.
Yeah, as far as Tom Coughlin goes, I mean, I don't remember any time in recent memory that the Giants have had a head coach, be a lame duck head coach unless they were planning on removing him, you know, a la Jim Fassel or whatever. But I'm sure he'll be getting at least a one-year extension, I would think. I mean, that'd be the logical thing to do, maybe even more than 1 year. In regards to the offensive coaches, I think it's only logical that a new offensive coordinator would want to bring in some people that he's familiar with.
Exactly.
Hey, like everything else in life, everything changes. So, you know, maybe it's time to turn the page on some of these guys. And, yes, indeed, Mike Pope was one of the most respected tight ends coaches in the NFL for many years. So I'd kind of be sorry to see him go, but I'm sure he's an older gentleman now. I think he must be around 70 years old, I think. But he's certainly done an outstanding job while he was with the football Giants. So I'll be I won't be happy to see him leave. But that's about it, pal. I'll tune it in and see what's going on. So y'all have a good day.
All right, thanks for the call, Jeff. Appreciate it always. And look, we'll see what happens. You know, there's always a lot of excitement when you bring in a new offensive coach. But again, if the personnel doesn't get better, guys, hate to tell you, it's not going to matter. It really isn't. If the personnel's not better, it doesn't matter what system you're running. So the Giants still have a lot of work to do getting those players in on offense that they need to be successful next season. By the way, tomorrow we expect to be joined by one of the reporters for Packers.com to give us a little insight on Ben McAdoo and what the Packers do offensively. So make sure you tune in to Big Blue Kickoff Live for that tomorrow, and we'll get into that. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Antoine down in Atlanta. Antoine, what's up, pal?
Okay, I got three questions. My first question is, how do you think the hiring of Ben McAdoo impacts Eli Manning?
I think it'll be an opportunity for Eli Manning to extend his wings a little bit, learn something a little bit new, and maybe these new components of the offense and a system will make him a better quarterback. And I think when you expose a quarterback to more and more, and I think Eli Manning is a guy that's smart enough to learn and become a better player when more stuff is thrown at him. He's that smart where he can take all that stuff in and turn it around into better performance. I think it could only help him, to be quite honest with you.
Okay. My second question is, how do you think the hiring of Ben McAdoo impacts Victor Cruz?
Once again, I think it gives him an opportunity to play in a different system. I think Victor Cruz, however, did strive and play extremely well in Kevin Gilbride's read and react system and Tom Coughlin's system, where you look at what the corner does and then you run your route based on what that cornerback does, especially in the slot when you can go inside or outside based on what the defense is doing. I think Victor Cruz really did thrive in that situation, so I'm curious to see if he's quite as effective in a new system. But I think the best thing, Antoine, for Victor Cruz is for the Giants to get another legitimate threat across from him, so other teams can't double team him quite as much.
All right. My last question is, I was on Facebook last night. I read where he said, Ben McAdoo said that the Giants' offense would be more up-tempo. My question is, will we see more no huddle from the Giants next season?
Yes, honestly, I think we will. I think you will see more no huddle from the Giants. I think you'll see a faster pace on the offense. I think you'll see him out of the huddle quicker, which is, I know, something a lot of things Giant fans have looked for, and for no huddle, because Eli's had more success in those situations than in others. So I think you will see more of an up-tempo attack, which is really one of the few specific things McAdoo spoke about the offensive system in that press release the Giants sent out yesterday. I appreciate the call. Thanks a lot. All right, Antoine, 201-939-4513. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, what's going on?
Good morning. I'm here in Hino country. I hope he likes and uses Hino and gives him a chance here. But I want to mention Nix. I look at Nix, and I said before, he showed everything he can do. That guy has talent. Maybe he lost some speed, but I think it's a head problem. I think he could be a clone to Antoine Bolden. He has his size, his speed, the hands. He could do. He should really implement his game into what Antoine Bolden does. And I would be willing to franchise him for 1 year yet.
Oof.
If you don't get his act together, then it's time to move on.
That's a lot of money to franchise a wide receiver. You're looking at a $10 to $12 million commitment for next year, and you make the comparison to Bolden. I mean, their heights are about the same. You know, Akeem Nix and Bolden both around 6'1". Bolden comes in at 220 pounds, while Akeem Nix, I'm looking up his exact weight right now, Nix checks in at just 208. So I think Bolden is a little bit more of a physical wide receiver. I think Nix is probably a little bit faster than Bolden is, to be quite honest with you. But like you said at the start of the call, I think Nix did lose a good notch of speed over the last couple of years, and he just did not get the type of separation this year and the second half of last year that he got his first couple of years in the league. And I think that has to be a big concern. And investing $10 to $11 million in a wide receiver that you don't know how good he's going to be. And remember, this year, teams manned him up with no fear that he would make them pay for it. And I think that's a big issue. And to invest $10 to $11 million in a guy like that, even for just 1 year, is a very risky proposition. And it will limit, to a large extent, what the Giants can spend elsewhere on offense to get themselves better, whether it's the offensive line, tight end, or running back.
Well, do you think that the tight end or the receiver, a tight end that can block and get down the field, or say Nix in his old form, would be better for this offense?
Well, if you're promising me that Nix is going to be the player that he was 3 years ago when the Giants won the Super Bowl, I think Nix is probably more important, and it depends on the type of player you're talking about. I want to get in the best players possible. And here's my point on Nix. I think you can find a better player right now out there for the type of money he's going to get.
Well, then I would spend it. That's what I was thinking, either a receiver or a tight end to put that money on. But Nix has the structure in that, if he lost some speed, to bulk up a little more, and that's what I think, and be as strong as Bolden. But I just think he has to get his head back in the game. For every reason, if he was worried about injuries, about his contract being up, I think that was a big problem, that he was worried about that money and losing it with the contract coming to an end and staying healthy, and he's got to get his head back in the game. So that's all. And what about the fullback? He does use the fullback there.
He does. But he also likes his fullback to be able to catch passes out of the backfield. Now, Hanoski has shown he can do that. John Connor, not much of a receiver. So I wonder if they're going to try to bring in more of a hybrid fullback, kind of a Marcel Reese type of guy that can catch the ball a little bit and block, and maybe get that type of fullback in here rather than the battering ram type. I think it'll be interesting to see the type of player that they use at fullback. Because remember, they like using Kuhn as a pass protector and shotgun, which is really what he was best at, and in some short yardage situations, not quite as much as a lead blocker. And when they were in real running situations for the Packers, it was less tight end, it was less fullback, excuse me, and more tight end play. So I'll be interested to see how the Giants approach that next year.
Well, who is out in free agency as a wide receiver this year coming out, do you know?
I would have to bring up the list, to be honest with you. There aren't a ton of names out there, to be quite honest with you. Nix is probably one of the better names on the list. As I bring up this list right here, I can give you a couple names on it. Let's see. Anquan Boldin is a free agent. Jeremy Maclin, of course, from the Philadelphia Eagles, who's coming off that ACL surgery.
Right.
James Jones from the Packers, so maybe he now becomes a target, considering his past history with Ben McAdoo. Jacoby Jones, Santana Moss, Emmanuel Sanders, Mario Manningham's a free agent again. Kenny Britt, if you want to roll the dice on someone like that with obviously a lot of off-the-field issues. Dexter McCluster's a free agent. But nobody that you really say, wow, this guy is a super game changer.
Yeah, well, that's why I said, you know what I mean, if nobody that I would maybe give Nix that one more chance, if we can't come up with somebody, you know, to spend the money we're bought, you know. So that's all. So,
thanks for the call.
Yeah, and one other thing, I hope McAdoo, maybe his presence too, could bring in some of these other players, you know, with a new guy like that coming in, where Gilbride really, you know, didn't have nobody else to bring in that, you know what I mean, that he knew of, where McAdoo maybe could bring in some Packers and stuff like that, lure him here to the Giants. That's all.
100%. Appreciate the call. Thanks so much, Joe.
Okay, bye.
Take it easy. 201-939-4513. And look, I think there's a chance he might attract some people, whether it's from the Packers or elsewhere. But the Giants still have a lot of work to do. And do I think a guy like James Jones might be more likely at this point, considering his history with the Packers, and McAdoo knows that he has a familiarity with his system and what he's going to bring here to the Giants? Yeah, I think James Jones could be a factor here next year. And they'll look at him in free agency. I think that's a very good possibility. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Len in Maryland. Len, what do you think of the move, bud?
Well, you know, like most Giant fans, I'm wishing this guy a lot of luck. I'm a little bit lukewarm on this. I'm not, you know, overly excited about the change, because to tell you the truth, in terms of the play calling and the overall philosophy, John, I just don't think it's going to change that much. Offense is Tom's side of the ball. This has been his offense all along. Bringing somebody in who can take a look at, you know, the red zone offense and tweak that, the way we approach the screen pass, maybe some of the blocking schemes, etc. You know, I like some of the things he says, up-tempo, high-energy offense, emphasis on fundamentals. Let's not overlook the fact that he's got NFC experience either.
That's, you know, true, too.
Guy who, this isn't a guy who has spent a lot of time analyzing Houston and Jacksonville. He's probably seen the Eagle. He probably sees the Eagles, the Cowboys, and the Redskins 7 or 8 times on film during the year, if not directly preparing for them when other teams are, you know, playing against them and attacking them. So I think he's probably got a feel for the NFC East, and I think that's important. Hopefully, this is a guy who can communicate too. You know, I mean, it's not just writing down X and O's on a piece of paper, but, you know, be able to communicate what he thinks and the way things should be run. And my real concern is the play calling. And I think Tom's going to have to get involved. I mean, this guy's never called plays.
And again, I think what Tom said in the press release yesterday, that he will help if necessary, but yeah. I think they want to see what this young guy can do. I think there's a reason they hired him, Len. I think they believe he has the potential to be an excellent play caller, and I think they're going to give him a chance to do it.
You know, and here we are, John, within 24 hours, and you know, we see some of the O-line coaches, Mike Pope, Gerald Ingram, who knows how far this is going to go. You know, the offense is broken. Mr. Mara said it. And if the owner says the offense is broken, it is. And it was just going to be more than one change, and it's obvious now. And, you know, Mr. Mara probably thinks the players are there. We can turn it around in 1 year. We got to get, you know, we got to coach them up. You know, we got to develop these players. it just seems like in this particular situation, John, he's siding with Jerry. The players are there. We've got the players. We need people who can develop these players.
But Len, that being said, I mean, do you think Brandon Myers is going to be back? Do you think Akeem Nix is going to be back? Don't you think there's going to be three or four new offensive linemen? And I think there's going to be a new running back. So I think you're going to get both. I think you're getting new coaches on offense, and you're going to get a ton of players. I think the only players you have back next year are Cruz, Eli, Beattie, and Pugh, and one of the two fullbacks. I think those are your only returning starters from last year's offense.
Well, if we count the fullback on the positive list there, then we're talking about six new players, if I count it correctly.
Yeah, give or take.
That's a lot of new players. Look, let me just, again, it's Tom's offense. Tom and Eli, John, are tied at the hip. They travel together. Also, with regard to Tom, I agree with one of the earlier callers. I think we have to extend him, at least the 1 year. My assumption is McAdoo got a 2-year contract.
Yes, that is the report. The Giants did not release the terms of assistant coaches' contracts, but was most of the reports that I saw that it was 2 years, if they're accurate.
Yeah, usually it's 2 years. That's about right. Unless you got a real hot shot, a veteran coach, particularly on the defensive side, you know, maybe you go to 3 years, but most of these owners like to have an option of, you know, give their coach the option of changing, you know, quickly if things aren't working out.
And Len, for that reason, I believe in short order, I think we'll see an extension for Tom Coughlin as well.
Oh, I think so, too. I think, obviously. But I think it's going to, John, I think it's going to come down to, it's going to come down to protect Eli. And his strength is the 5-7-step drop. It's not sprint outs. It's not pistol. It's not short passes. It, 3-step drops and quick release. That's not the strength of your quarterback. It's going to be about protecting Eli. I think the tight end's going to have to be a blocker first. I think those running backs are going to have to prove themselves as blockers. I know Kuhn is different than Connor, but
very different.
For our fullback, it's got to be all about blocking. And it's going to be about a balanced attack.
Yeah, but Len, I'm telling you, the Packers and their system do not use their fullback as a battering ram type of run blocker. They'll use him in pass protection a lot, but they will not use him as that type of run blocker, just not in that system. Now, maybe McAdoo will change. Maybe that's not how he's going to run things. But McCarthy did, they did not use Kuhn as a lead blocking type of fullback.
I agree with that, John. That's a very good point. And let me just say one thing about Kuhn, and the one thing I always liked about Kuhn, when he lined up in the I formation and they're inside the 5-yard line, there's a lot of times where Kuhn got the ball.
Oh, plenty of times, no question.
And he got the ball inside the tackles, John. We're not talking about Kuhn running outside or Kuhn. A lot of that, quick snap to the lead, to the lead running back, in this case the fullback, and of course we're talking about Kuhn. Balanced attack, protect Eli, at all costs. I think that's still going to be the philosophy and the basis of it all. And, we got to see these coaches develop these players. Come on, Giants, let's go. Let's get some free agents. Let's get some draft choices. Put good players on the field and see Eli flourish again. I'm not down on it. I'm just, a little lukewarm about where this is going, because I don't think a whole lot is going to change, John. He's going to tweak that playbook. Thank God we got somebody who's going to do that. All right? Almost more like a consultant. Red zone offense.
Len, maybe they'll run a good screen pass this year.
Yeah, yes. Could be. We're going to look at the screen game, et cetera. But it's going to be that play calling from play to play. What's the philosophy on first down? What's the philosophy on second down? Third down, depending on field position and things like that. That's all got to be worked out. I think he can write down the X's and O's. My only concern is, how are these plays going to come out?
Len,
how are they going to come out?
Thanks a lot for the call, bud.
Okay, thank you.
And I think this offseason is going to be exciting. Hey, look, every offseason, you show up and you see the same offense being practiced in OTAs. And frankly, there's not really much else to learn about what the Giants do on offense. Now, really, when you get to OTAs this year, you get to minicamp and all that stuff, you're going to be seeing this offense being built and developed before your eyes. And that's what I'm looking forward to. I think it's going to be a ton of fun. I really, really do. 201-939-4513. I have 12 minutes to go in the show, folks. I have to get off at 10:30 today. I have four callers on the line. I'm going to get to all four. We'll be back with you tomorrow at 9:30. We'll take more calls on the Giants offensive coordinator. We'll talk to somebody from Green Bay about the type of offense that he runs at 10 o'clock. And we'll have a good day of talk. But I can only take four more calls in the next 12 minutes. Let's try to get through them all and start with Dennis in New York. Dennis, what's up?
Hey, John. Well, I'll go fast. Can Eli throw the short passes that this supposed West Coast offense, I guess I'm sort of agreeing with what Len just said. Can Eli do what the X's and O's that are going to be drawn up by McAdoo?
Well, we'll find out. I think Eli is going to be asked to do things a little bit differently, and I think you have to have faith in a guy that you committed $20 million a year to be able to run this type of offense. And physically speaking, I don't see why not. I think physically he should be able to do it.
Okay. Next, you said just a little while ago you said something about the off seasons being exciting. They're always exciting. How can they not be exciting? You know, to me, it's always watching the development, watching things happen. It's always something really interesting.
No, right. I hear you, Dennis. My only point is that once you get to training camp and such, and you've seen every single play they're running in training camp practice run before, you're not really seeing anything new. Now you're going to see a whole new offense, different formations. How are you going to use certain personnel? Who are the new personnel going to be? You're going to see a completely different offense this year from a play selection point of view, from a formation point of view, and even from a personnel point of view, with probably more than 50% of the offense turning over. So, to me, that's exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing something new.
Last thing, Pope and Ingram are not going to be kept, it sounds like. Have you heard that?
The Giants have not made those announcements. When they do, we'll have it on Giants.com. Those are the reports. And, again, yeah. Dennis, this is what happens when you bring in a new offensive coordinator. He's going to want to bring in his own people.
Yeah. Well, good revered people. Unfortunately, we're going to see them go. It's too bad.
Thanks for the call, Dennis.
Bye-bye.
And if you take a look at the coaching, again, Mike Pope, I don't think that has anything to do with him not doing a good job as a tight ends coach. He's gotten a lot out of these tight ends. A lot. And the Giants have had a revolving door, and he's gotten a lot out of no matter who's been there, including getting Brandon Myers to catch some passes this year in the second half of the year after a rough start. So, again, I don't think a performance has to do with him. As for Gerald Ingram, I mean, he's been with Tom Coughlin a long time. He was back with Tom when Tom was in Jacksonville. So I'm sure that's not an easy thing for Tom to do, to let somebody let that go. And same thing with Mike Pope. He was with Tom when he was here in the 80s with the Giants. So these are guys that Tom has worked with a long time, and Coach Coughlin has a lot of respect for them and thinks they're fantastic coaches. But when you bring in a new offensive coordinator, you have to have give him the freedom to bring in his own people. And in terms of Ingram, you would have liked to see David Wilson make more progress start of last year. He didn't make that progress. Could that have something to do with it? Maybe. Again, if it's true, I don't know. But again, I think the lack of the running game had a lot to do with the offensive line the first few games of last year, too, and then you had all the injuries. So take that for whatever you will. 201-939-4513. Steven's in Florida. Steven, what's up?
Hey, John. How you doing, buddy?
What's up?
No, not much. Hey, you know, listening to all this stuff, I for one am very excited about this, and that it didn't go the Mike Sullivan way, which could have been very easily done with this franchise. And you know, I'm going to preface it by saying, obviously, they need to get the pieces in place for whatever kind of offense they run. If they don't get the key ingredients, the offensive linemen and this and that and the other thing, we understand that. But, you know, but that being said, I change is good at times. I mean, look, Gilbride was here. He had a couple of great years with the offense. But you know what? The league changed. It's always ever evolving. And it seems like Giants didn't make any changes. You know, they didn't make any adjustments. And you know, like running this hurry-up thing, Eli's always done well, but they've never done that. They didn't roll him out in the pocket till the end of the year when it was, like, too late. You know, they didn't seem to make major adjustments at all, like, you know, on Gilbride's, you know, path. So I think this could only bring good things. Look, you know, looking in the past is one thing, but you got to look to the future and make adjustments, and hopefully they can do that, you know, and put the pieces in place.
I appreciate the call.
Thanks, John.
Hey, thanks, Steven. Good stuff as always. Please call us back, 201-939-4513. Steve's in D.C. What's up, Steve?
Hey, what's happening, John?
What's up, buddy?
Hey, I'm pretty much on the same wavelength as Len, man. I don't think we're going to see too much change at all, to be honest with you. You know, I like what I'm hearing more than what I'm seeing at this point. You know, I'm not down on McAdoo, but I'm just really not sold. Kind of understand why they may consider getting rid of Pope just because of his experience, because McAdoo's experience working with tight ends in the past. We don't want him to feel like he's being overshadowed or anything like that. But as far as Ingram, I don't understand why we would consider getting rid of him at this point. You know, just really, you know, I really can't, you know, put a finger on the why that's even a consideration.
No, but Steve, the thing is, I don't think these guys are getting fired, or if they have gotten fired, because they're doing a bad job. I think they simply say to McAdoo, look, you're the offensive coordinator. You're allowed to bring in people that you want on your own staff to teach your system. And I think he basically probably said to the Giants, well, I have this guy that coaches this position I want to bring in. I have this guy that coaches this position I want to bring in. And that's, in my opinion, again, I don't even know if these moves are happening.
No.
But if they do, that to me is probably more the reason than any unhappiness with the performance that these guys had in their years here with the Giants.
I understand. I just think that he has more than enough on his plate being a first-time play caller. He don't even need to be messing with the running back position. He only got a 2-year contract. So, I don't really see him having that much leverage at this point. And I really hope that it's just rumor. But, I don't think we're going to extend Coughlin, you know, past this year either. I just don't, you know. So, I don't, like most people, I don't think it can get, you know, any worse. But I'm really not that excited. So, I'm going to, you know, I'm very hopeful, but, I think it's going to come down to the offensive line, and I'm really interested to see what running backs we bring in here. But, I won't hold up any time, and I appreciate the show and my time. So have a good one, and I'll talk to you later on in the week.
Thanks. Thank you, Steve. And, again, I think it makes it easier on McAdoo to install a system if he has other coaches on his staff that knows what he's teaching. Otherwise, he has to get the other assistants on the same page as him and hope that they teach his system the right way. So by bringing in his own people, they're an extension of him teaching the system to the players, and I think it actually makes his job a lot easier. 201-939-4513. Final call of the show is Andrew down in Virginia. Andrew, what's going on?
Great what you just said, John. And there, if he brings in his own guys, he can be held accountable for his system working or not working.
Exactly.
So he can make tweaks all along the process. You know, great job by Ingram and Pope. As you said, Ballard, Boss, you know, great tight ends have come a long way under him, and I think he did a great job here. And I saw that tweet from Ballard. But anyway, what Len is saying, we don't know what kind of quarterback Eli Manning can be. He's been in one system. They've made slight changes from year to year. And the 2009 offense was drastically different than 2008, and they had a lot of success in that offense. And it was built on shorter, quicker passes, and then opening up a deeper game. And that was something that Hakeem Nicks brought in as the X instead of Plaxico Burress. So we've seen this offense change from year to year, but it's the same system. Can we even go further and build more around these shorter passes, getting the ball out quicker? I think that's what we've been asking for years. We can't live and die by the deep ball. The deep ball will still be there as it is in Green Bay, one of the most prolific offenses in the league. I don't know how you're not excited. All of a sudden, the Giants made the exciting, pleasantly surprising move, and now we're going to get conservative? Come on! What have we been asking for?
Well, you know what? I think, too, Andrew, look at it this way. We've never seen what Eli Manning can do in another system. To assume that he can't do it, I think you're getting ahead of yourself a little bit. You have to give him the chance. He's only played in one system.
Right. So let's go in with an open mind, see how it goes, and, you know, hopefully, we'll be pleasantly surprised. But that ball is going to get out quicker. I mean, I was really excited by what McAdoo said in his first statement. We're going to be an up-tempo attacking offense. We are going to dictate. That's my opinion on what he said. The offense is now going to dictate to the defense. See if you can stop us. I love it. And what that system in Green Bay does, it doesn't matter who the quarterback is, doesn't matter who the receivers are, they are dominant. And the ball can go in five different directions on any given play. I love it. I never thought they would make this move. I'm pleasantly surprised, and I can't wait to see what this team can do. Now, granted, it's the first year, so let's not get overzealous, but the move I never thought it was going to be made, and I can't say how happy I am that it was made. And let's go Giants.
Andrew, thanks for the call. That's the type of enthusiasm I want to hear out of the final core of the show. Good job, Andrew. Thanks a lot for the call, man. And I think that's the type of excitement all Giant fans should have. You're not going to erase everything Eli's done here. You don't erase all his experience, everything he's seen and done, everything he's learned. But you have him add new things to his repertoire. And there's no reason he can't do physically a lot of the same things Aaron Rodgers did in Green Bay. Now, physically, does he have maybe the same arm and accuracy as Aaron Rodgers? Maybe not, but he should be able to adjust to this system. I don't see why not. Is he as mobile? He's not as mobile either, but that's fine. Everything Rodgers has done in this system, Eli should be able to do as well. Remember, it's going to be a melding of the two systems a little bit too. One other quick thing on hashtag Giants chat. I set off a firestorm on whether or not the Giants should go out there and sign James Jones. Most Giant fans unhappy with that idea considering his inconsistency and his drops, and I understand that. I'm not saying he's a legit number one wide receiver, but he does have the speed to get deep. I think he's a faster player than Akeem Nicks. He can beat you over the top, and I'd rather have James Jones for $4 million a year than, say, Akeem Nicks for $8 million. I think it might be a better value. Is he the perfect player? No. But when you look at free agency, I don't think you see that perfect wide receiver there either. You know, Anquan Boldin's great, but quite frankly, he's not that fast. He's not beating people down the field either unless he uses his size. That's my only point. Everybody, great job on the phones. Again, we'll be talking to somebody from Packers.com tomorrow to have more on Ben McAdoo, learning exactly what the Giants will be getting, hiring their new offensive coordinator, the Packers, former quarterbacks and tight ends coach. Everybody, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow morning. Big Blue Kickoff Live, 9:30 on Giants.com. Be there.